Good morning. First of all, I want to say it's great to be back here, and I'm excited about the journey that we're going to take together. Please take some time to introduce yourself and get to know me a little bit, and I would like to get to know you a little bit as time goes by. If you would, as we go into this message, would you pray with me? Lord, we know that you are here, and we know that you have a message. Help us to hear your message and your word, and not the message and the word of our own heart's desires. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. So, if you're like me, right now, my stomach's already grumbling. I had an early breakfast, and I can't wait till either coffee hour or lunch. But likely, that's not going to include things like monkey meat. However, in parts of the world, people do eat monkey as part of their diet. And one of the remarkable ways that they capture the monkeys is they make these simple but very effective monkey traps. They take sometimes a coconut or a gourd, which is kind of like a squash, and they dig it out and they clean the guts out of it and they drill a hole into it just big enough for the monkey to get its hand inside. They tie one end of it to the coconut or the gourd, and they tie the other end of it to something solid like this. And then the hunter goes behind the tree and waits, but not before having put a very sweet treat on the inside of the trap. And before long, a monkey will smell that. You know, think about apple pies or some good roast that you can smell, and the monkey smells that. And it shows up and grabs the trap, and it might look inside, but it eventually puts its hand on inside of the trap. Grabs hold of the little trinket on the inside, its prize, and then it tries to get its hand back out. The problem is it can't get its hand back out. The trap works so well because that monkey will not let go of that trinket that's on the inside. Its hand is tightly closed around that yummy treat that it's waiting to eat. And often as it tries, it just will continue to fail. At some point, the hunter will come out from behind the tree, and guess what? It's going to easily capture that monkey and probably have it for dinner. So you might say, well, little monkey, let it go. Let go of it, little monkey, run free. But the monkey can't let it go because over the hundreds of years or thousands of years, its brain has been programmed to just hang on to that food for its very survival. It doesn't even enter the monkey's mind to open its hand and let go. I was watching the video of this monkey trap happen, and I was just freaking out. I'm looking at this monkey going, little monkey, let go, just let go. And he wouldn't let go, and of course he got trapped by his unbendable set of values. His unbendable set of values. Now you're probably sitting there, well, thank goodness, I'm smarter than the monkey. I would let go. And I admit that I have said those things too. I'm smarter than the monkey. We regularly get caught in monkey traps, though. You probably can think of a time or two when you've either done it yourself or you've seen a friend get caught in a monkey trap. And what it says is that you're thinking short term, that prize, versus the long-term game, which would be your life in the case of this monkey. It's the inability to think long-term that catches us in the trap. You just hosted a thing called the Daniel Plan here this past spring, and a big chunk of the Daniel Plan is letting go of old habits and putting in place some new habits that for a while are probably going to be very uncomfortable. Because it's very hard to run from the chocolate bar to a bag of carrots. I admit it because I did it. It's not the easiest thing. But the young ruler in our story today, in our scripture reading, he seems to be stuck in his own monkey trap that has the ability to affect his eternal existence with God. His life is at stake, and Jesus tries to tell him, this is what you need to do. He asks Jesus, what do I need to do? And Jesus tells him, and what does he do? He walks away sad because he has many possessions. He's not ready to give up this thing to get that thing that he really wants so bad. In the case of the monkey, if he could think clearly, or she, it might be a girl monkey, if she could think clearly, she would pull her hand out, dropping the trinket on the inside, and turn the coconut over and shake it out the hole. And he would get the prize and would run away. But the monkey, like us, sometimes cannot seem to think beyond that very moment that we're clutching onto that very thing. So that's one monkey trap. There's another one I'm going to talk about. And that's the monkey trap of indecision. Kind of like the deer in the road, that, you know, the deer in the headlights analogy that people use. The deer looks at you and it just sits there. And you're thinking, deer, move out of the way. And if the deer could move left or right, or it could stay where it is. If it moves left, it's probably going to be okay. If it moves right, it's probably going to be okay. But if it stays right in the middle and doesn't make a choice, what's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen to the deer? Is it going to get run over? Yeah, it's probably going to get run over, right? We're like that sometimes. I've heard people even say, well, it's better not to make a decision at all than it is to make one and get it wrong. But in the case of the deer, that's not going to happen. If the deer doesn't decide what to do, he's really made a decision. He's going to stay there, and the car is going to run it over. You've seen people like this. Maybe you've seen this people in the mirror looking back at you. You're holding on and yanking at the sweet treat of a bad relationship, an unfulfilling job, unhealthy habits. Maybe it's holding on to those old ways of, we can't do that because this is the way we've always done it. You're desperate to escape the danger and yet incapable of letting go at the same time. So I'm going to switch gears here, or maybe switch animals would be the better analogy. I'm going to switch to donkeys, or one donkey in particular. There's a donkey in the gospel stories on Palm Sunday morning that we meet. For a brief moment, we do remember the donkey going in, you know, with Jesus riding on in the parade of palms. What we sometimes don't think about is that donkey was somewhere. Jesus sent two of the disciples to go get this donkey. And this donkey was tied to a pole. I imagine like a horse would be tied up. And it was waiting for the disciples to come and to get the donkey for Jesus. It hadn't been ridden. It hadn't been used for anything else. It was waiting for its special purpose. So it was tied up, so it was safe and ready. But I think it's in Luke's gospel, he mentions the word tie or untie about, I don't know, five or six different times. And in the Bible, whenever something is repeated, like verily, verily, or truly, truly, we're supposed to pay, I believe, very close attention to that point. The fact that the donkey was tied up has relevance to this story because in order for it to be used to fulfill its purpose, it had to be untied. It couldn't very well go walking through with Jesus on its back if it was stuck to the pole. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some purpose for being tied up. I know that this is a boating community, and if you had a boat in dock and you didn't tie it up when you went back, it's probably going to be gone. So there's a reason to have something tied up. But if you get in the boat and you try to pull away and the boat is still docked, if you have a decent boat, it's going to rip the dock apart. So in order for you to use it, you need to untie it. So we're often tied up like the donkey, I think. We're tied down waiting for something to happen. Maybe it's a better job. Maybe it's a long broken relationship that we're waiting and hoping will just heal. Maybe we're tied down by feelings of guilt, anxiety, concern. Maybe we're tied down by the need to forgive, and yet the reluctance to do so. Some of us are tied down to our smartphones and our tablets and television. We get a little nervous when we can't find those, don't we? We leave home and, oh my gosh, where's my phone? A few years ago, and I say a few years ago lightly, it was probably 20-some years ago, I went on a mission trip with John Knox Presbyterian Church. I was a young adult leader at that time, and we had a day off from doing work camp stuff, and we went to a challenge course. And if you are familiar with any sort of challenge courses, they have like walls that you have to climb over as a team, and there might be some ropes in the trees, and you have to kind of climb across those rope ladders or bridges. And in this particular camp, they had a log that was suspended about 25 feet above the ground. And we were tethered in. We were being safe. So if you fell, you weren't going to go to the ground. You were tied into something. But you had the opportunity to walk across this log with or without a blindfold. And there were ropes hanging down. At the bottom of it was a little knot. So you could grab a hold of the rope with the blindfold on and step out. And you couldn't quite reach the next rope. To get from one side to the other, I had to let go of this rope and lean in to the one in front of me. It was there. It was about that far out of my reach. In order to get from one side to the other, I had to let go of what was comfortable, what I knew was safe, and trust in what was sitting in front of me. And I knew it was there because I had seen it. My friends were down on the ground yelling, "It's there! Reach forward! Just let go, little monkey! Let go!" We hang on sometimes to things that we need to let go of. In order to move ahead, we need to let go. As Christians, we need to be loosed from the weights that weigh us down. We celebrate Jesus as Lord, and we are grateful and thankful. But we also celebrate Jesus as liberator from dependencies, from afflictions, from those things that hold us back. And we need to be free to fully experience Jesus in our lives. We can't fully commit to God when we are tied down or grasping to those worldly desires, those things that we want so bad. We must surrender them to God. Surrender our burdens. We need to let go of that rope. The young ruler was so badly caught in his monkey trap. He was so tied to that donkey pole that he turned down the chance to walk with Jesus. Can you hear yourself saying, "Young man, just let go and walk with the Lord"? So I have a couple questions I ask myself is, what is it that I need to let go of in my life? It could be something really small or something big, but there's usually always something. Something I can let go so I can walk free with Jesus. Or what gift would I be able to explore if I would untie myself from that which I cling to? And we all have gifts. So if you're sitting there thinking, "I don't have any," you do. God gave it to you. When we are unbound by our past, we are not weighed down by those things we want so desperately to hold on to, and we can live the life that God has planned for us. So as you go out today, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine sitting there with the 12. I want to imagine sitting there with the women that were there. Joanna, Mary Magdalene, Susanna, and the other women that were disciples of Jesus Christ, sitting there with them when the young ruler comes up. Imagine yourself hoisting everything that burdens you and laying it right there at the feet of Jesus. Should feel a little bit lighter. Imagine yourself taking a step as the group starts to walk. It's easier. You can take a few more steps. You feel a little lighter. Maybe like when the choir was singing, I felt a little bouncy this morning. And soon, one step in front of the other, lighter, you're walking down the road. Now look beside you and see Jesus walking with you. The Jesus who came and who died for you and me. The Jesus who rose again to set us free. Let us look to our Lord to be free and share in the life that the Savior has waiting for each one of us. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your Son. We ask this morning that you help us see the life that you have planned for us, and that you help us unload and let go. Help us to hear the call. Be with us today, Lord, as we walk down the road alongside our beautiful Savior. Amen.